This is part two of the success call with Martin Bauma. You also mentioned that you're experimenting with the showing agent or showing specialist model.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that, and what have you learned?
Well, we learned, number one, you have to have the right people in place. You know, what happened, we started out with two people. The one person, and if I look at it in hindsight, was just a newly married woman, wonderful person. However, she had a husband that did very well. She's very close to her family in Oklahoma, and she kept going to Oklahoma. And when you're assisting a buyer's agent in the middle of summer, you can't leave for 10 days. You know what I mean? She had an aunt die, and she disappeared for 2 weeks. And so her heart wasn't into it. You know, she wasn't pushing Scott. She would just sort of sit there and wait for him to do things. And she just not the right personality. The other person, but for a bunch of different reasons, didn't work out. So we brought a third one in, and her disc personality, which was a DI, we realized very quickly she didn't want to be a showing assistant. She sort of did that to get onto the team and really wanted to be a buyer's agent when she saw the money that Heidi made, right? I posted on different Facebook groups, hey, you guys, I'm really trying this showing assistant model. It is not working for me. And they all say, Martin, you just have to have the right person. You have to have a follower, not somebody who wants to be a leader, and somebody who's happy making $50,000 to $80,000 a year. You know, and they're probably not going to make six-digit income. So it's definitely, I know that certain people have done it very successfully. Scott's still very open to trying it because, you know, Heidi, for instance, when she had her one showing assistant before he got sick, she had 18 buyer appointments 1 month. She said, Martin, I can see how it really works if you're the right person in there, because while I'm out doing this, he's showing properties, I'm setting up appointments, and, you know, they could work very efficiently together. So I can see how the model works, but you've got to have the right people in place.
And you're just getting this started. How are you trying to structure the compensation for the showing specialist?
The showing specialist gets paid 15%. The buyer's agent gets 35%, and the company gets 50%. The buyer's agent gets 5% less, but he's able to really expand. They're learning delegation, right? So he's able to do a lot more business and have a little bit more of a life and make more money in the high end. Because keep in mind, a buyer's agent probably 3/4 of the time is showing property out on the road. And a showing assistant, you know, especially when you have those buyers that, you know, they've been working with them for 9 months and they keep wanting to see whatever, you know what I mean? You don't really need the buyer's agent with that person. You can have a strength. Say, this is my partner will go out and we'll show you those properties. If it's a house you want to buy, I can step in again. There's some people who the buyer's agents don't do any showings. I would have a harder time with that. But I think a showing assistant can really supplement a busy buyer's agent and allow them to be much more productive.
You also mentioned the lead coordinator. That's a little bit unique. It sounds like you were getting overloaded with internet leads. The buyer agents were probably getting distracted by that, and you brought in the lead coordinator.
Right.
Is the lead coordinator a full-time or part-time position?
She's in the office 4 hours a day when she does all the follow-up stuff. Whenever a lead comes in, it goes to her email, and she responds immediately for it, like basically all day and all night, right? So she works part-time in the office, but she responds to every lead immediately. The problem we're running into, and this is why I hate these lead generation systems, because you drown in leads, right? And you're spending all this time following up when you should be just following up to the way to buy. When I sat down, he's got 30, 40 buyers. He drives his, Scott, you can't work with 30, 40 buyers. You can work with 10 to 15. That's your top 10 or top 15. The rest, you just put on flash programs, which he has them on flash programs, and then you need to block, time block, maybe an hour or two once a week to call the other people who aren't quite ready to do anything. And so what happened is they're drowning in new leads coming in. That's why I thought I'm going to have Carolyn step in and monitor all that stuff, the people who aren't quite ready to do anything, so that the buyer's agents don't have to do that. And so she's following up with the agent. You know, you can tell by the kind of activity, you know, going on, how active people are, and she'll touch base with them if they're ready to move forward, and she hands them over to the buyer's agents.
How long have you had the lead coordinator?
That's also a new position. We've had her for about a month. And it seems to be working really, really well. The buyer's agents love it because they're not being inundated. It's allowing them to focus on what they do best. You know what I mean? Working with active buyers and sellers as opposed to getting diverted by responding to hundreds of leads.
What was the background of the person who took over the lead coordinator position?
She was actually a friend of my listing coordinator. She had owned a small business at one point. You know, I think she was a housewife for, you know, basically stayed home with the kids for a while, and then she operated a small business. But she's very outgoing. She's from Ann Arbor. She knows everybody. Very comfortable calling people, you know, very personable.
What's her DISC personality profile?
She's an IS. The bad part about that is she talks too much. So I've had to really work with her. I said, sweetie, you don't need to go on half an hour conversation about, you know, your grandfather. Because the family's pretty prominent in Ann Arbor, she knows everybody. So she'll get on these tangents. Oh, I just spoke to Mrs. Smith. We talked about my grandfather. See, this is, you don't need to do that. So that is the weakness. She's an IS, and we're really working with her to say, you know what, just stay focused on the mission.
How are you compensating the lead coordinator?
I'm paying her $12 an hour when she's in the office, and then we pay her $150 for every appointment, and an additional $150 when it closes. So $300 per closed deal, $150 for an appointment.
It's only been a month. Has she brought in any additional business or converted any additional business so far?
You know, we're just trying to analyze it. Well, the one thing I've really noticed is the buyer agents aren't getting inundated with leads that aren't going anywhere, right? So it's allowing them to stay focused on what they do, so they're happier. Where she's on the leads like unbelievable. So I would say so far everything is saying that it's working very well. I know Scott's had two leads turned over to him from her that she vetted for a week or two. So, I mean, it's too early to really tell yet, but by all intents and purposes, it looks like it's working. Like everything, you know, and you have to, everything you do, you let it run for a couple of months and just really monitor what's happening. And I think that's something a lot of people don't do. You know, they just like, Carolyn, you're costing me this much to hire and to run this. What's the output? You know, and if there's no money there, then we have to get rid of it.
How do you create accountability among your staff, among your team?
Probably the most important thing, every sales meeting, we go over all of our numbers. You know, we have a great big flat screen in our conference room. We just pull up this huge Excel spreadsheet and start by step one. Say, how many buyer leads this week? Scott, how many new buyer appointments? How many buyer agency contracts? How many contracts? And then go, you know, tomorrow, how many appointments did you make? How many agency contracts did you sign? We go right down the list. Every department. So everyone has to talk about their numbers in front of everybody else. I track religiously. I track the number of appointments they go on. We have, you know, they have buyer lead tracking forms. Every time they have an appointment, they have to write it in there so that at the end of the month, I say, hey, you had 12 appointments this month. What happened to this? What happened to this? What happened to this? We're very, very religious about tracking those type of things. We have Excel spreadsheets. We keep it all on box.com so everyone can access it and input their data.
Well, Martin, there are going to be people that have been listening to us so far. They're listening to how you're doing marketing. They're listening to your staff and your team. And they're going to have a question. They're going to be wondering, are you profitable?
Yes, very much so. My profit, actually, year-to-date right now is 43%.
That's your net profit, 43%. Do you pay yourself a salary?
I pay myself a salary every month, but when I'm talking profit, that's my salary plus whatever's left over.
Martin, that's a fantastic net profit margin, 43%. Has it always been 43%?
No. I generally will run between 35 and 40 because I've had a huge growth spurt this year. We're up like 38.5%. My profit also, of course, my expenses didn't go up that much, so my profit jumped up to 43% this year.
Sounds like you track a lot. You're doing a lot of tracking of everybody's numbers in the office. Are you tracking your expenses really tight? Is that another reason why you're able to maintain this 35 to 40% net profit?
Yeah. Like we were talking earlier how I monitored, like this is what I spent on Zillow, right? This is what am I making on the output? I track it religiously.
How often do you review your financials?
Probably almost daily. You know, to me, finances are two things. One is the input, the other is the output, right? The input, I look at probably 2-3 times a day. I have a form, and it's called written close tracking form. So in the minute a property goes under contract, Becky, my closing manager, will go into this form, and she'll write the street address, the sales price, any cost of goods, you know, like if there was a referral that had to be paid out, if it was a buyer's sale, what we paid the buyer's agent, whatever, then there's what we call the net profit, right? What is company dollar? And so she'll write that in, and then for closing it in, she'll go for closed, and she'll add it there too. So at any point, I have 24 tabs, you know, one for each month, written and closed. So for instance, I can go into, hey, where are we at? Now, that top right number will tell me exactly what is company net dollar. And I know what it costs me to run my business per month. And I watch that like a hawk. And it generally costs me about 50 grand a month to run my business. So I know I have to have at least 50 grand there to cover my, to keep the doors open. And so if we're getting, let's say right now already, in a, we have $38,000 closed, which is, I'm not too worried because we still have 3 weeks, and the first week is always very, very slow. And plus, I'm negotiating a bunch of deals. But I'm keeping a real tight eye on that. And guess what? On the meeting on Tuesday, okay, you guys, we're at 38 GCI. We'll probably be at about 50 or 60 GCI net company dollar by this, by Tuesday. But I'm going to start already saying, hey, what's going on? You know, who has a buyer? What's going on with the listing? Let's really get tight on this. I don't, you know, so to make sure we hit our numbers. So that's the most important thing. I watch that daily. Becky knows that the minute we get something under contract, she better put that in there within minutes because I look at that every day. And that's what drives my business.
I think that's really interesting. Two parts. One, you're tracking your gross margin. You're tracking your gross margin each month to make sure that you're going to be able to cover your net. You're watching that on a daily basis. And the second part is that it sounds to me like you said you're sharing that information with the team. I assume then they must know that you need to hit that 50K to break even and that you're only at 38 and they're now part of that process of working to get above the 50. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's almost a little bit of open book management.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Well, Martin, what drives you?
And I get asked that question all the time. And, you know, it's funny. I just want to be the best at what I do. And, you know, I hate to admit it, but part of me wants to be number one. You know, it's so funny because I've been sort of stuck at, you know, I was stuck at $1.5 million for a number of years here. And nothing would change. And I was always number one in my region for Keller Williams, right? Well, last year, all of a sudden, I got a phone call from a seller. Says, Martin, there's a guy on the radio who's saying he's the number one Keller Williams agent in the region. He says, I called him up and told him that's not true. I said, who was it? So I looked it up, and lo and behold, this agent out of Plymouth had beat me. And that, I cannot tell you how that motivated me. That's where I just flipped everything around and made the decision, I've got to do this, I've got to hire, you know what I mean? So that motivated me, having someone beat me to where I can't ever have someone beat me. I mean, it's interesting. And the other thing that really motivates me is I just really want to have something I'm proud of. I want to create this incredible work environment where we provide the best possible service, and I want to create a nice life for my family.
Martin, why have you been so successful?
I think, number one, I work on purpose, okay? I always work on purpose. I don't work rudderless. I know where I'm going. But probably one of the most important things is I've always done a whole bunch of things very consistently every day. And a lot of people are always looking for a magic pill. You know, they think, gosh, I just want to do this and spend all my time doing this one thing, then I'll be successful or whatever. But like I said, I make 10 to 15 phone calls every day. I do probably 5 to 10 handwritten notes every single day. I preview certain properties every single day. I mean, I just do a whole bunch of things very consistently. My marketing is very consistent, has been over the years. I always analyze what works. If something doesn't work, I change course. But I give something long enough, you know, I don't try it for 1 or 2 months and say it doesn't work. I usually give everything at least a year. And I think the other part is I have phenomenal market knowledge. I've made it my job to know the market better than anybody. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things you can bring to the table because we develop our confidence from our knowledge. If you don't have confidence, your clients are going to pick that up, especially on the listing side, and you're going to lose out on the listing business. So I'm a true professional that way that I study my market every single day. In every price point, like we in our office track every $50,000 price point in my market. So when I sit down with a client, I said, you know what, your price point in your school district, this is how many houses sold last year. And I go back 10 years so we can watch trends. We can watch, you know, so when you have that kind of powerful information behind you, that makes you incredibly confident. And people like working with confident people. They trust you, you know, when you have confidence.
Martin, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting into business, what would you tell them to do first?
In this day and age, this is what I tell them to do. I say, you know what, if you were going to open up any business, you'd probably have to get a $100,000 line of credit. You know, you'd have to get a building and you'd have to get inventory, all those type of things. I would probably tell someone who's seriously wanting to get in the real estate business, either have $50,000, $75,000 of your own or get a line of credit and create an entire marketing plan and do it right from the beginning. I'd start day one with an assistant and do everything on purpose and lay out the line. You know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on the phone from this time to this time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to preview property so that I become incredibly knowledgeable in the market very quickly. I'd probably preview market or inventory for half the day, every day, so that I can immediately talk intelligently about the market. But I would lay out an entire plan and have the money set aside to make it happen. So many of us start poor, you know what I mean? We go in with no money, and we can't do anything because we don't have any money. Then we get one closing, and we'll spend a little bit of money on something, but there's no strategy, there's no plan behind it. It's just real scattered. I would get every kind of training I possibly could. I would surround myself with people that are where I want to go. One of the things I did a lot when I was growing is I would go shadow people. You know, I flew up to Ottawa, Canada, and shadowed Bill Renault for 3 days, and I just shadowed a bunch of successful people. I always went to every single mastermind. I went to family reunion. I go to mega camps, you know, just every sort of training I could possibly pick up.
Do you think that top agent interviews like the one we're doing now with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
Oh, completely, completely. When I remember Howard Britton, because I was a Howard Britton star. Before I was a star, I would listen to those tapes over and over and over and over again. It's the same as shadowing almost, right? You get to hear from people who are where you want to go. And a lot of things don't become believable until you hear someone say they've done it, right? Say, oh, well, no, that guy on the team, he just did it. And then, you know what, what I would do a lot too, back in the day when I would listen to different people on tapes, I would call them. I would call people and say, you know, you said this, I listened to you on an interview or whatever, and I have some questions about, you know, and it's amazing how many of those people are willing to share. And that is the interesting thing. A lot of the very successful people are more than happy to share.
Well, Martin, I've come to the end of my questions for today. Do you have any parting thoughts for the people listening?
Just that, you know what, I think the real estate business is probably one of the most phenomenal opportunities to make money and have a very successful business. Like, where else can you get into a business that probably costs you maybe $1,000 to get started? You get to sell other people's inventory, so you don't have to spend millions of dollars on inventory. And especially this day and age, like back when I was building my team, there were no models. You know, there were no books to go to. There was nothing. I had to learn by hook or by crook. In this market, there are all kinds of models to follow and all kinds of people to teach you. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Where else can you go? And doesn't matter what your background is, if you put your heart in this and you work hard, the possibilities of making $500,000, $600,000, $700 million, they're there. You know, there's no other opportunity like it in the world. But I think real estate, the one thing is people are driven to by the perception of the opportunity, but they're driven away from it when they realize how hard it is. And that is the thing you've got to commit to putting in the time.
Well, Martin, you said it. There's no opportunity in the world like real estate. If you're willing to put in the time and work hard. You inspired us with your amazing turnaround after such a slow start. You demonstrated the power of market knowledge to increase our confidence and be a better agent. You showed us the power of tracking to run a more profitable practice and create accountability in the team. You proved that turning your top 150 referral sources into raving fans is a winning strategy. Thank you for sharing and being our top agent of the month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who, sold 124 homes last year and knows how to generate internet leads. Find out who he is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network, where top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.